The flesh is weak. This is our biggest problem. Jesus told Peter, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Matthew 26, verse 41. Because our flesh is weak, we need God's help to avoid and resist temptation. Our flesh is not inherently bad. Jesus became flesh. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1, verse 14. God was manifested in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. Jesus had flesh after his resurrection. A spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Luke 24, verse 39. There is nothing wrong with having a body of flesh, but the problem is that our bodies have strong desires. Our desires tempt us to sin. God created man with these strong desires that are essential for life. We have physical needs for food, water, and shelter. We have social needs for companionship, approval, and sexual fulfillment. All of these God-given needs are supported by desire. God also gave man responsibility to rule over his desires, restraining them when necessary, and fulfilling them in upright and moral ways. Responsibility entails freedom of choice, which means that right or wrong choices can be made by anyone who has been given responsibility. In Eden, Eve had all the food she needed, but she chose to eat the forbidden fruit. She chose to believe a snake rather than God. Adam chose to listen to Eve rather than God. Eve tried to blame the snake. Adam tried to blame God for giving him Eve, but in reality, Eve and Adam were responsible for their own sinful choices and for the consequences. Their first child, Cain, also made sinful choices. He was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. 1 John 3, verse 12. Abel was the first prophet and the first martyr. Luke 11, verses 50 and 51. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Hebrews 11, verse 4. When God rejected Cain's sacrifice, because of his evil deeds and accepted Abel's sacrifice because he was righteous, Cain was very angry. Genesis 4, verse 5. God asked Cain, "Why are you angry? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Genesis 4, verses 6 and 7. God promised to accept Cain if he did what was right, and God warned him to rule over his evil desires. Instead, Cain murdered his brother. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. James 1, verse 13. We must strive to do what is right, although our flesh is weak. Jesus valued Peter's willing spirit, even though he knew Peter would deny him. The spirit is more important than the flesh. The desires of our flesh relate only to temporary things, to things that will pass away. God has provided a means of salvation for those who love God and sincerely want to do what is right. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing." John 6, verse 63. Because our flesh is weak, we cannot save ourselves by law keeping. Romans 8, verse 3. Even those who want to do what is right come short. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. Paul explained, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Romans 7, verses 14 and 15. Paul discusses our hopeless situation because of the weakness of our flesh. Only Christ can rescue us from the weakness of our flesh. Only in him can we escape punishment for the sins we have committed? And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. Worldly people try to fulfill the desires of their flesh with little regard for right and wrong. They are called children of wrath because their behavior makes God very angry. Others love God, want to do what is right, and try to do what is right, but fall short because of the weakness of the flesh. God sent his Son to suffer the penalty for their sins so they can be forgiven if they put their trust in him. Believers must put on Christ to be saved, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Romans 13, verse 14. How do we put on Christ? Paul explained, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Galatians 3, verse 27. Through baptism, a believer who has repented of his sins gains access to forgiveness through the sacrificial death of Christ. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. In Christ, we walk according to the Spirit rather than the flesh. In Christ, we are a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. This new life in Christ means that we no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Romans 5, verses 1 through 4. To walk according to the Spirit means that we focus on the things of the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 5. When we set our mind on something, it is the focus of our thoughts and actions. We must be spiritually minded. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8, verses 6 through 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. We must resist evil desires. Salvation by grace does not mean that we may give in to the lusts of the flesh. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Romans 6, verses 1 and 2. Paul wrote, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." 1 Corinthians 9, verse 23. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Galatians 5, verse 13. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. We must avoid and resist temptation. We must avoid temptation as much as possible. What is the value of the prayer, "Lead us not into temptation," if we then go where we will be tempted? Someone with a drinking problem may not sit in a bar or visit someone he knows will try to get him to drink. Young people who are dating should avoid situations where they might be tempted to commit fornication. We must avoid people who try to get us to do bad things. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. The many unavoidable temptations in life must be resisted. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. What have we learned? Our desires tempt us to sin. We must strive to do what is right, although our flesh is weak. Because our flesh is weak, we cannot save ourselves by law keeping. Only Christ can rescue us from the weakness of our flesh. We must put on Christ through baptism after repenting of our sins. In Christ, we walk according to the Spirit rather than the flesh. We must be spiritually minded. We must resist evil desires. We must avoid and resist temptation, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen.